The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on Sci-Fi.Radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sam, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things. I love it!
I think this is going to become like the new Ryan dancing video. We're just going to roll it.
I love that you get Derek descending the stairs at WonderCon in his glorious red...
What cosplay is that? Nice.
Yeah. That was Agent Mulder.
By the way,
the suit and tie top and red speedo for the bottom.
By the way, speaking of Ryan Nielsen, who we just saw, shout out to the Con Guys. I love every single one of you, Ryan. We love you too.
Oh, we love you too.
He wants the second dance. All right. There he is. Dancing in all his glory.
Dancing. We got so much to talk about tonight, guys. Let's get through these. Cat.
Let me tell you why.
My lovely, lovely mother is with us tonight. Sorry, Mom.
Jim is not drinking beer out of that bottle, Mrs.
No, Fry. I don't drink beer. Brad, y'all getting all fancy. Wait. Look at the guest we have tonight, guys. Jim Krueger. Do you know who this is?
He's Freddy's brother.
No, this is the famous comic book writer. He has so many things he writes for Marvel. Jim Krueger. This is the official invitation. We're going to get you on the show very, very soon. He's an award.
Did he write for Superman? Didn't he do some the major DC stuff?
I thought I recognized the name, and I was like, wait a second. Is this somebody really important? I mean, every one of you watching is very important.
All right. Also, Jonathan Wilkinson. Hey, brothers and sisters. Good to see you. And then, We Be Geeks. So glad to see you guys today. All right. Mike Emke. What's up? Good to see
you. What's
up, Matt? Hey, guys. Let me take this opportunity since Mike Emke and the We Be Geeks, they're partners with us. Like, I'd like to especially thank our partners here on the Con Guy Show tonight. That hashtag show is our video home, as Ben was mentioning earlier. We're also part of the ESO Network, which carries tons of great shows, if you guys haven't heard of them, such as The Ring of Thunder, Pop Culture Cosmos, Cigar Nerds, one of my favorites, The Dragon Con Report, Earth Station One, and many, many more. And we have Mike Emke there. Mike, we're so privileged to be part of your We Be Geeks Collective, my friend, which features great shows like Wookiee Radio. You can hear Mike on Wookiee Radio every week, Mighty Marvel Geeks as well, We Be Geeks, and more. We are also very excited this week to be joining Sci-Fi Radio, formerly Krypton Radio, the most popular 24-hour sci-fi channel on the web. How is that for growth, my friend? That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like we've hit the big time now.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, you gotta get that growth checked out.
Mom, I'm so glad you're watching tonight. Now that Dad's retired, get him to watch some. Come on.
We haven't really arrived until both Jim's parents are watching.
Mm-hmm. My dad can't stay up this late.
They're on the East Coast.
They're on the East Coast.
Because we're in South Carolina, and my mom keeps him working hard. He's doing a new bathroom right now. He just retired, so now he works for my mom. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, Ben, I'm going to ask you if you could. Our very first big topic tonight, guys, that we are talking about is, Mike, MP, We Be Big Time. You guys are big time. By the way, Mike also can be found in the pages of Pop Insider Magazine. They're some of the official podcasts of Pop Insider, which is a great big international media company. So congratulations, Mike. I think that I'm always impressed with that. So we this weekend had what I would call probably the great tsunami of nerddom that kind of rolled over a million screaming, hollering, excited fans. The first started on Thursday. Ben, bring us up to speed. What is it that we saw on Thursday, and how did it get here? What's the history of the Snyder Cut?
Well, I didn't see it on Thursday. I saw it last week. And my imminent video that's going to drop later this week on that #show.com, where I interview two of the visual effects artists from Weta Digital down in New Zealand. It is Simon Duncombe and... I just had the other guy's name and I totally blanked on it. Now I'm completely mortified.
I thought his screen froze for a second.
The worst nerd ever.
Langlands. His last name is Langlands. I can't remember his first name. So the Snyder Cut, man. So we all know the train wreck that was the DCEU, the cinematic universe that was Warner Brother and Detective Comics answer to the MCU. The wildly popular and successful comic book serial film franchise from Walt Disney and Marvel Studios. Personal opinion, they just jumped into it. They were like, here's a Superman movie, here's a Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman movie, and here's Justice League. And so it was, whereas like literally the MCU took 4 years to build up to the Avengers. So yeah, so then... Zack Snyder was kind of directing this universe, and of course he has a particular style and a way of doing superhero movies not entirely well, and he was leading up to this Justice League, he was directing Justice League, and then abruptly he had to leave halfway through the project. His daughter passed away, and it was of course that's an extremely sad thing. Then on Warner Brothers' part, they made a weird move. I guess it makes sense, but they brought on Joss Whedon, the man who directed the Avengers, the first two Avengers movies, and made the first Avengers movie at the time one of the most successful films ever to be released. So they brought in Joss Whedon to direct this movie that they wanted to be the antithesis of the other movie that Joss Whedon made. So that was kind of confusing. So what we ended up getting was what I refer to as the Justice League. And that is Joss Whedon steered Zack Snyder Justice League that he handed off to Joss Whedon. And it was bad. It was not good at all. And I started drinking when I watched the first Justice League, the Justice League film. And as the movie went on, I continued to drink because that was the most entertaining part of the evening. And of course, this was like 3-4 years ago. So by the end of the film, I was completely tanked. I didn't really remember much about it. There was some fun stuff, I guess. But then there became this whole campaign. I'm really dragging this out too long. I'm going to nutshell the rest of this. There became this whole campaign, like people, fans online were like, Snyder Cut, we want to see Snyder's version. Well, the truth of the matter is there never was a Snyder, like there was like storyboards, but there was never like, Zack Snyder didn't secretly finish the movie and then they, you know, made Joss Whedon redo it. So people were like, release the Snyder Cut. And they were essentially saying.
It was the Justice flop, as Mike said.
Yeah, the Justice flop, exactly. So they basically said, you know, let Zack Snyder come back and finish this movie. And on one hand, this kind of sets a bad precedent for movies in general. If we're just going to allow the fans to be like, no, do it again.
Yeah.
So but what I think we got is the Snyder. So Zack Snyder came back and they did reshoots because they got actors on board and like everybody was hashtag release the Snyder Cut.
I think Gal Gadot and Jason Momoa both like tweeted with the hashtag.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some of the main actors from the Justice League film were like, yeah, we liked Zack Snyder's vision better than what ended up on your movie screens. Mm-hmm. So it snowballed from there. Eventually, Warner Brothers and AT&T were like, okay, give them another crack at it. So they went back. It was right, I think they started right before the pandemic hit. And they were starting to do reshoots. And then they ended up having to stop and then go back and stop and go back. And they ended up finishing this Snyder cut of the Justice League, which ended up being a four-hour-long epic, as opposed to, what, the 2 hours that the Justice League was. And there's a lot of stuff in this. I got to watch an early cut of it, but there's a lot of stuff that remains the same from the original, but there's some tweaks, and obviously the color correction is entirely different because Zack Snyder has his very dank and gray style. But I actually, it benefited from something that a movie shouldn't need to benefit from, which is a 4-hour runtime so you can flesh out every character. What this would have really benefited from is a Flash origin movie, an Aquaman movie before the Justice League, Cyborg movie.
Cyborg.
It could have really benefited from that. You wouldn't have had to have a 4-hour Snyder cut if you would have had,
right,
like Marvel did, these origin movies leading into it. I would have cared about it.
Say that where people can hear it, Danae.
I didn't even remember that Cyborg was in Justice League until Ben said it just now.
Well, he wasn't, very much in the Joss Whedon cut.
Okay.
And that's a whole behind the scenes thing too.
Yep.
But he has a much more prominent role in the Snyder cut. But of course, everybody's got a prominent role in the Snyder cut because it's 4 hours long.
Yep. And
I did enjoy it.
Mike Emke says 4 hours of slow. And also, he said, I was sober and I don't remember much
of it. I don't find
that's how I felt about the 2017 version.
What's up, everyone? Mick Manhattan.
Hi, Mick.
I don't mind slow because I went to the midnight screening of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. So I'm like, I can sit through slow. But
hey, Jake, you saw it, right? You saw the Snyder cut. Stephanie, you saw it. I know Luke saw it. I've seen it twice, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Hey. How do you have that much free time?
I don't have a life.
Luke was out of town. He had nothing to do.
Spent a whole work day watching this?
No, I actually, I watched some with Luke today while I was working. So, all right. So we're going to jump in. We're going to ask our special guest first. Stephanie, thank you for being part of the show tonight. Wait, here's Brad. He goes, I've honestly had no desire whatsoever to watch this new cut. Barely made it through the original.
No, everybody barely made it through the original.
Yeah.
DCEU, dark, cinematic, excruciating universe, according to Mike Emke. All right. Stephanie, I don't want to steal your thunder. What did you think?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I feel the same way a lot of people felt about the first one. Going into the Snyder cut, I didn't care that much. I just thought, okay, I have HBO Max, so why not? And I didn't mind the 4-hour thing because I figure, you know, I binge watch all the, you know, I binge watch shows for hours and hours. So what's the difference? What did I think about it? I actually cared about the characters more. It was awesome. And there's a couple like highlights for me that really stood out that made it better for me, a whole overall better experience than the first one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, if we're going to touch on some of them throughout this conversation. Yeah.
We absolutely can. And we are, let me just tell everybody, if you're listening, spoilers are going to be coming our way. So you will be spoiled if you haven't seen it yet. But since the whole universe has seen this movie, go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. Well, I am a huge fan of Wonder Woman. I saw the first one in theaters multiple times. And it really affected me just as a woman, seeing a woman on screen that was like powerful and strong and kicking butt and like pure at heart. And I just loved her. She was so inspiring to me. And then I just remember in the 2017 version, rolling my eyes a lot at the way they were portraying her. She just felt like a object to look at how hot she was. There was a lot of like up the skirt kind of shots. I mean, there was like a scene where she falls on top of Barry and he's like, Barry falls on top of her and he's like right on her chest and it's awkward. And there's just all these moments that I was like, no, you're taking away the magic of Wonder Woman. Cause Wonder Woman is just, she's so pure and she's so like almost holy, you know? And I just really appreciated this whole movie treated her with such respect. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, there's more things I appreciated.
You're talking about the 2017.
You're making Ben rub his beard right.
The 2017 one was the one I rolled my eyes at the way they treated Wonder Woman. Yeah. And then the Snyder cut was just a whole other experience. It was like, Wonder Woman's back. This is the Wonder Woman I love. Yeah. She really felt like her true, pure, if you will, self. I really appreciated that. And Cyborg, I mean, that was a big, like, yeah. She was saying she didn't even remember Cyborg was in it. And I felt almost the same. He was kind of forgettable in the first one, but then in the Snyder cut, you really care about him. I mean, I think the best part about the Snyder cut is caring about the characters a whole lot more.
Yeah. So, yeah. Jake, let's go ahead and see what you thought about it. And then we're going to talk a little bit of specific with everybody else.
So, unlike most people, the 2017, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. It just kind of was, you know, there, just kind of meh. Because I like a lot of the DC stuff. The DCU, you know, I'm kind of like 50-50, you know. Man of Steel was pretty cool. Wonder Woman was great. I have really enjoyed Batman v Superman, and then I thought the extended cut was better. So I wasn't like super all into it. I love the characters, obviously. They're the most famous comic book characters ever, Superman, Batman. So when I saw it, I wasn't so much mad. I'm talking about the 2017. I wasn't so much mad as I was just kind of bummed. Like, oh, that kind of sucks. Like, I wish they could have really done that. Well, maybe sometime. And then honestly, I just let it go. I didn't really think about it. So then when all this big thing came up, we're doing the Snyder Cut, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm like trying to remember. I'm like, I don't really remember much of it because I was just like, you know, it was kind of like in and out of my thought process, whatever. So, but I agree with Stephanie. I think the characters were treated much better in this version. They really delved more into the characters. It's a long movie. That's the one thing, you know, so it's, you got to have patience and really have time to sit if you're going to watch it all in one sitting, you know. The thing I thought, you know, Zack Snyder, he definitely takes his time with this. And there's a lot of scenes that I'm just like, cut this out. Like the scene where Bruce goes to try to recruit Arthur and then he goes in the water. And then it's like, it felt like 2 minutes of the women like singing the Icelanders. And I'm just,
what is this?
She's picking up his sweater and like smelling it. And I'm like, what? No. Like,
that was beautiful. I will like,
yeah. And I get it. But, you know, it's like,
yeah.
No, but that's, yeah. Things like that. Or just like, yeah. But things like that, you know, he definitely.
I think he is. He's advertising this new.
I started drawing this out because of Derek's luxurious man beard.
But I'll just say the last thing. I liked it a lot. I thought it was good. I definitely enjoyed it much better than the Justice version. The one thing I'll say, and the thing that a lot of people know, we're talking about the Joker scene and the whole epilogue. I didn't really think that needed to be in. I would have preferred if that was like its own separate short film that you could watch at the time, because it has this great epic ending and then the epilogue, and it just keeps going.
And we're gonna talk about going, that. We'll talk about that by itself in a second, because apparently that whole epilogue was nothing more. Nothing more. It was mainly the preview of what Zack Snyder wanted to do going forward that we're never gonna possibly get a chance to see. Which I'm like, well, then why film it, for crying out loud? Like, Zack Snyder said that one of the reasons is because he had spent a whole decade with the with Batman and the characters of the Justice League. Watching Ben Grimm himself is anyways, but like, we had spent a whole decade with the Justice League with Batman, but he had never put Batman and Joker face to face. So he said he wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I wish he would have resisted that urge. All right. Derek, you were having a couple of different opinions there while Jake was speaking.
Wait.
The song was pretty.
The song.
Yeah, I was just saying the song was pretty. I will grant that. So I, between the kids and Army Over the Weekend, I had time to watch about 46 minutes of it this morning while I was working out. I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier first.
All right.
You got important stuff done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so far, I have liked what I've seen, because my my biggest complaint with a lot of the DCEU movies is it felt like they just didn't get the characters and didn't honor them well, particularly Superman. Granted, I didn't grow up reading the comic books all the time, but I knew Superman from the various Superman TV shows. You know, I watched Lois and Clark as a kid, and yes, it was cheesy, but man, that was fun. You having fun? Okay.
drink. So,
and then, of course, with Smallville and other the older movies about Superman, and now Superman is not supposed to be dark and brooding the way Batman is, and getting that it has always bothered me. So what I do like about this so far is we're just getting more character moments. I like the idea that they can actually develop Cyborg and Flash a little bit. Hopefully, I've still got to watch the rest. I liked the song, even though that scene was a little long, and I liked the song in the scene after that, which was a little strange having them back to back. But when Lois Lane is going and, you know, mourning over Superman, we see that she's been going to this monument, this memorial spot every day, and she's being nice to the police officer, bringing him coffee, and he's like, still here, Miss Lane, and we're seeing all the flowers that are out there, because that was another thing before. We didn't really see how the people were mourning Superman. We didn't see how the community was all affected by it. What we had seen was how people were angry and didn't like him, and how there was graffiti on the monument and all these things. And then we saw how there was more crime happening now that he was gone.
But we didn't see that in this movie.
What's that?
There was none of the graffiti and crime stuff. That's all been removed. We removed the graffiti.
So nice. So yeah, I feel like we're getting a little more character development, which you have time to do when it's a longer movie. And I, for one, do think that the comic book type stories work better in a longer format in many ways, because we get to see so much instead of just trying to grab like the big moments and the biggest villains from the comic books and smash a bunch of stuff together to make it work in a 2-hour movie. In years past, that's all we've been able to do, because you're going to have some live action films, storytelling, the big budget stuff for the huge visual effects and the epic scenery, it all has to be in a movie on a big screen instead of on TV. But now it's not like that so much anymore, because we have these streaming services. People have big screen televisions a lot more. You've got high def TV, you've got great sound systems in the home. And with all these streaming services, we're getting a whole lot more of that. So we can have things like WandaVision. We have things like the Netflix Marvel series. And now Winter Soldier, and now something like this can exist. And we've also had the DC TV shows from the CW, and those huge following. So I like the possibility of having a really long superhero movie. It's kind of the best thing they could do with the Justice League right now, when there have been multiple Avengers films and there's been so much time to really develop all of that.
Right.
And this is, so far, I don't know that it's still like quite where I would like it to be, but it seems closer.
You know, and I see your point, though. Like, even though all of us watched it as a 4-hour and 9-minute movie, I think, or something like that, we probably all watched it like that. It's actually split up into 6 different sections plus an epilogue, kind of like comic books. So they did, for those who wanted to watch a section at a time, it is split up into conveniently split sections. I wish it was almost like episodic online, like you had to go to the next episode. I was just
going to say that. Do you think it would have been perceived differently if they would have had like a episode per week and made it like a mini series instead of just one long movie? Or would that be too long between each section to really think?
I don't know.
With WandaVision and Falcon, now it's like get episode and then you get a whole week.
I think it would have been interesting, and to focus on a character each one, you know, like, but I mean, that would have required a lot of reshooting to tell a nice beginning, middle, and end, and have act structures and all that to something like that would have been probably too difficult. But I think an idea, and this might inspire stuff like that, where you really could kind of create an ensemble cast like this, but then give each episode kind of like they do on like the show Lost and other stuff, where certain episodes focus on the backstory of a certain character. I think this kind of shows that they could possibly do that within the superhero world.
So
universe.
So I don't know which way I'd go on that, but let me guys tell you, let me see, is everybody,
what did you think, Jim?
I'm going to tell you right now what I thought. And I enjoyed it better the second time because I actually, there was a couple moments. I'm a big softie. I actually teared up a couple times when I started thinking about what this movie actually was. And then at the very end, the final words you see on the screen at the end of the credits, it's for Autumn.
Yeah.
And if you think of this movie as a parent to a child, it changes everything about the movie. Every single superhero in the movie was dealing with issues with their parents. Every single one in such a big way. And I don't think that was quite so strong the last time. Wonder Woman and her mother, she and her sister, but she was afraid that her mother had been killed by this man. And it was generating her. Superman returning to his mom on the farm. That was just one of the most touching scenes in the film. Batman, of course, we know his history with his parents, and it was kind of motivating.
But Superman, too, there's the both dads thing. And I think, wasn't there both voices kind of going back and forth in that one scene, which was kind of
The two dads, when he was back in his spaceship, both of his fathers were speaking to him to encourage him to move forward. And then perhaps the two most moving father-son scene. I mean, the father-son stuff was just getting to me. Like, Cyborg and his dad. How his dad sacrificed himself to save the world, and Cyborg, that was like the moment he finally came to reconciliation with his father. And then Flash and his dad, who's in prison, and the last thing he does, you know, I'm gonna tear up, guys. He's like, the last thing he does it for his dad because he's trying to make his dad proud of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, save the world. Cry.
Dad, I saved the world, and I got admitted to this crime lab. My son, nothing can stop him. Once I started thinking about a lot of indulgences with this movie, a lot that needed to be cut. But once I started thinking about all these super slow scenes and how they were building towards, the whole thing is a family drama about children with their parents. And I was like, wow, that part to me is what... Here we go. Betsy. Hooray for all of them. Okay, Jim. Dad's too.
Mom, for anybody who's just listening.
Oh, that was Luke's mom who was mentioning it. So anyways, that was my favorite part. And I know we're going a little bit long, but this is what I would consider the biggest nerd moment of the year is this weekend. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. What'd you think of the villain Darkseid?
I haven't gotten that far, so I don't
know. Okay, so like the big bad.
The big bad.
Yeah.
Was he scary, or was he a good addition? Because he was barely in the Justice League, but he is a main character almost in this version.
He wasn't in the Justice League at all, was he? I mean, it was...
Barely. If he was.
And they hinted at him coming in the future.
Right.
And they just had...
I think Snyder's trying to get another film. I think that's kind of the purpose of it. And I think he kind of teased it. I could tell the difference. And my kind of main opinion about it is they really Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, where they basically went in and they redid so much CGI and did it. And basically like what you wish a lot of movies would have, such as like Star Wars, you know, where it's like, oh, they messed up here. People hated this. And they basically got that opportunity to do it all like fan haters and all that have like done where they're like, yeah, I don't like this. And they got the opportunity that a lot of people have always wanted where you could go back in and do it again, which I wonder if that will kind of start a thing of like, can they redo Last Jedi or something like that? I'm just saying, but,
Go ahead, Ben. You and I are thinking the same.
I do want to, then I could go back, but you say this, Ben.
Well, I was going to say, that's what I was saying earlier. This sets a bad precedent for just like, yeah, people that like that movie, let's just do it over. Like, I don't know.
And the actors never get free from it. They're just going back and back and back.
Yeah, but those actors are making money on this.
That's true.
It's true.
As an actor, I was thinking a lot about how, like, Cyborg, he probably was so bummed to, like, film all this stuff for the movie and then have it stripped off of him, and he's like, guys, I swear I was in the movie, I swear I had a good part. But now we all get to see it, and it's like justice for Cyborg and all these actors who got cut.
Yeah,
I mean a lot of ways.
I was just gonna say, just on that thought, like if you could be Batman 50 times, like you'd just keep being Batman. I know I would.
Yeah,
yeah,
or Superman.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. Ben Affleck could have been, he could have kept being Batman, and then he was like,
yeah,
nah, man, nah, I don't want to keep doing this. And I think that's the thing is, like, if it's not just enough to be Batman or to play Batman, it's got to be good. Otherwise, then you're known as the shitty Batman, you know, like, and like,
George Clooney
is going around telling people, you know, I played Batman. He's telling me, I played Danny Ocean. I played the good parts, you know? And I think as an artist, I think all of you can probably connect to this. And I feel like Stephanie was probably leading to this.
That's my dad. We are pro actor.
There you go. And it isn't just about money, you know. Of course, if you're at this level, you're making all the money in the world for any set that you step on. But if you're playing a role and they just keep bringing you back to play this role and it's not good and it's not showcasing what you can do and it's not satisfying to you as an artist, then the money doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter at that point anyway because you've already got millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Listen, if they called me up and they're like, hey, Ben, with credit card debt, do you want to play Batman? It's a terrible film. I'd still be like, how much are you going to pay me? Yeah, I'll play Batman. But if I've, you know.
Do it for free. Next weekend, let's do it.
Yeah.
But Ben, do you think that Ben Affleck did a terrible Batman job?
No, I don't think so at all. No, I think he's great. I think Ben Affleck left because the franchise was going down the toilet.
Yeah, I think everyone involved did a great job. My only person who I would recast would have been Lex Luthor. What's his name? Jesse Eisenberg. I want to see Bryan Cranston as like
Lex Luthor,
you know?
Oh, wow.
That would be perfect.
But instead, it's like Michael Rosenbaum.
Mind blown.
I know what they're trying.
Multiverse, Lex Luthor, make your way.
Just think about it. It'd be so good. But Jesse Eisenberg, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make him more like, you know, the complete opposite of Superman, the little skinny, nerdy guy, but he's like a genius and everything. He's still.
Yeah, don't go from Gene Hackman to him.
I'd forgotten about him until that post-credit scene. I was like, oh yeah, this guy. You know,
that post-credit scene wasn't that bad, and
the scene's cool. That's the only casting decision I was like, no.
I would say for casting also, Amber Heard is like not everyone's favorite person right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're gonna get to you, Marvel Universe.
Hello, Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe, I love you.
Yeah, she doodles in beds. To get back at X.
Well, I don't want to talk too much about the gross stuff about Amber Heard.
But let me just say this. Her accent
was bad.
It was rough. It was really rough.
I agree.
And it was
distracting.
Yeah. I do have to say, though, like, Luke, to what you just said, it was a little bit disconcerting to, I hate to say it, to watch her on screen. I mean, I would have felt the same way if it was Johnny Depp on screen. It's hard not to think about some stuff when it gets so sorted in public, but like, I try not to do that. By the way, can we address this right here? Where did it go? And Brad said the DC announced that they will not be continuing the Snyderverse in another film. I heard they said the same thing.
The numbers came in.
Yes, I don't believe them for one second. I'm sorry. I just do not.
Yeah, we'll see.
If we already know
we're getting more of the Shazam stuff, and that is technically in the same universe.
Yeah, well, and Henry Cavill signed on.
Yeah, Henry Cavill signed on for the next Shazam, and we're supposed to get like three of those, and Black Adam, and we're getting more Wonder Woman. Like, so we know it. Like, it might
probably
not
be Aquaman too,
prior, but we're still getting more of these films because they're still making money, even though a lot of people don't like them. I mean, even from what I think, Batman versus Superman still. And some of the others, like even Suicide Squad, did really well overseas. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, like if they're making money on it, they're going to make them.
Can we talk for a second about a part of the movie which has been kind of polarizing? It's a part of the movie that I personally thought I wish I didn't need to see it. Jake kind of hinted at it. Coy Jandreau, one of our good friends of the show, hated this. It was the nightmare scene at the end. Can somebody who wants to describe what we saw there, just real briefly?
Jake.
It was a you kind of saw this in Batman v Superman versus like nightmares of like visions of the apocalyptic future, and it's who's all the I can't remember it's him and Flash and
Mara,
mm-hmm. Joker, and
that guy with the eye patch.
Deathstroke, yeah.
Nick Fury.
And it's them.
Not Nick Fury.
No. It's just them. They're just kind of all sitting there talking and describing things that have happened and what the plan is and stuff. And you learn that, Lois has died. Did they mention anyone else? I guess we just assume a lot of
Aquaman. Are dead.
Aquaman. Yeah, that's right. Aquaman. Yeah. And it really, the whole scene, you feel like it was just an excuse for it to have the Joker in the movie and have them have that conversation, And like I said, it was an okay scene. I thought Jared Leto, however you say it, I thought his version of Joker in this was much better than Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like it was just a cool little extra, like to watch it after that movie, after that nice ending where they wrap everything up and then you have this and it just kind of drags. I wanted it just to be like its own separate thing. Like, yeah. And then if you want, watch this cool thing too,
Well, Zack Snyder actually did an interview to explain what that final scene was supposed to be. That was what he wanted he wanted to go forward. He eventually planned to go forward. Basically, he said, and this is his words, he says, we cut to the distant future where this band of misfit superheroes have stayed alive somehow throughout all this insanity.
They're pulling a Logan.
They're pulling a Logan because Superman is on the side of Darkseid. The Earth has fallen. Batman is not able to save Lois, and she dies. So here's the plan. In the future, they're going to find one of the mother boxes.
Full fry on this.
Oh, in the future, they're going to find one of the mother boxes that still remains. And using the genius of Cyborg and the power of the mother box, they're going to jump Flash back in time to the Batcave to give Bruce an advantage in the fight against Darkseid so that he could save Lois and change all this. I guess Superman is evil because of his bitterness over Lois being killed. So that's a lot. There's a lot going on. And that's just a little bit. If you look in the most recent issue of GQ magazine online, Zack Snyder goes into great detail telling about where he wanted to take this universe. And it's a universe we're never going to see now, apparently.
Allegedly.
Because after that, I was just like, everything's nuts. Like, I don't care. Like, cool. Let's see some more of that nightmare stuff. Because you saw Barry with his goatee and like the armor helmet thing, like was in Batman v Superman when he comes through the portal or whatever in the Batcave. And so that was like, I was like, oh yeah. I have to agree with Jake. The Jared Leto's performance of the Joker in that scene, that was what I wanted from him. And he did great.
I like Jared Loder. Jared Lair.
Jared Lardo. Laredo.
I like this Joker.
What did you guys think of Martian Manhunter? Are you guys surprised?
Cool. His random cameo in the middle of the movie was weird. Was
confusing.
When he was Martha Manhunter.
Martha Manhunter.
It had me suspicious of everyone. I was like, is this person secretly him? Is this person secretly him? The whole rest of the movie. Right.
But then nobody was. Just in that one scene in the middle of a 4-hour movie.
It was kind of like weird. It kind of stuck out a little bit. Like, I'm not sure what the purpose of it was. And I knew there was a Martian Manhunter in the movie because the guy who plays him, I was listening to a podcast he did about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he talked about, I'm in there. I don't know where. So I was looking for him, but I don't know. That it didn't seem to move the story.
Actually Luke in Last Jedi when he met with Leia.
What was that?
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Stephanie?
Oh, I read somewhere that the reason why he was in that scene playing himself as Martha was to make sure Lois would continue forward because he knew how important she was going to be. He needed her to not just be retreating and hibernating in her apartment. he needed her to move forward so that she could be there the moment Superman sees her, you know, and just for the future.
It makes sense.
I mean, sure, but that wasn't apparent.
Like, it wasn't. Yeah.
If you have a 4-hour movie, you shouldn't have to, like, have extra stuff outside of it explaining why the things were in the movie. You know?
It seemed like they were just like, if we're gonna do this, let's make something a little extra to throw in there. Like, hey, how about this? You know,
it was cool. It was cool to see, but outside of that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
As someone who hasn't read the comics, I had no idea who he was. I thought maybe he was a bad guy, and so I guess it was just a wink to people who have read the comics and know who he is. I don't know.
Well, according to Marvel Universe, I love that Marvel Universe is schooling us on the DC Universe. Martian believes in hope, love, and charity. This is part of his character. So that's kind of cool that they brought him in then. I think that's kind of cool. And I don't remember. Didn't the Justice League at the end when they were went in, they said, hey, we have a table big enough for six. And she says, well, maybe more. Weren't they in the Hall of Justice building in the Joss Whedon version? Or not? Did I misremember that?
I don't know. I was blasted by the end of time.
Are you tired of podcasts only covering good movies, bad movies? Where could you possibly turn to find both in one convenient place?
There has got to be a better way.
Well, now there is. Try the podcast Double Edge Double Bill, where Adam and Thomas dive into both a good and a bad film in every episode. Sound too good to be true? Well, listen to this testimonial.
Double Edge Double Bill got me to watch Total Recall and Junior in one night. I was both entertained and scarred permanently. Thanks, Double Edge Double Bill.
Available now on the ESO Network and wherever podcasts are streamed.
We do need to talk about the other giant shoe to drop this weekend, which is Marvel's The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which dropped Friday night at midnight here on the West Coast. I guess 3 o'clock in the morning over there for you East Coasters. Danae, did you see this one?
I did.
I would love to know what Danae thinks.
So if anybody's listened to the podcast before, you know that I have not been a fan of Marvel's most recent release. I won't say what it was. But I mean, just in like the first 10 minutes of episode one of Falcon and Winter Soldier, I was able to forgive Marvel for the gas leak of a mini series that we just got from them.
We don't agree. Not all of us agree.
You're wrong opinion, Cheeseman. That's fine.
My mom now loves Marvel because of that.
My hair is red because of that.
Everything.
Oh, my.
No.
So, I mean, it was so awesome from the start. It was just, you know, I was on, you know, we have the Con Girls on Instagram. I was on there right away, not doing spoilers, but like posting what I was seeing and my thoughts. My instant reaction was like, Sam, why don't you wear a mask when you fly? I would do that. So don't follow, you know, swallow any like bugs or anything. But, and it was just, you know, he was doing all the cool tricks, flying through helicopters and all the awesomeness. And, Brad, you can just close your mouth when you're talking to me.
He is. He's typing this. So.
Thank you.
In case you were wondering.
Thanks.
Actually.
It was just so much fun. I mean, and of course, it ended so well with like that perfect cliffhanger. Like, are we allowed to discuss spoilers here?
Spoilers, yes. Okay, by so the way,
Episode begins with Sam handing basically Washington, this is Captain America's shield. And it ends with Washington announcing, because the government loves to get in the way, meet your brand new Captain America. And some bimbo holding Sam.
Not just some bimbo. Yeah. Like, I'm absolutely sure we saw that guy earlier in the episode.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think we're supposed to make that connection. Those COVID-safe
bad guys with the red masks. Mm-hmm. Red Hand Saruman style.
I was thinking of Saruman the whole time.
This is why we relate.
Yeah, Uruk-hai meets real extremist group, but
communist.
Yeah,
and it was intense, and I really think it's I think it's that too. I'm really excited for this Friday. I can't wait to watch it.
And speaking of premiere, I just have to say Disney Plus, their new original series of Falcon and the Winter Soldier from Marvel Studios ranked as the most watched series premiere ever on Disney Plus during its opening weekend. It beat the premiere of WandaVision, which is the second most watched series on Disney Plus, and it beat the second season premiere of Mandalorian, which is the third most watched episode.
Wow. Yes.
That's a big deal, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It was great. You had to finish.
I was just going to say, I'm excited for the Loki series too. I've been really nervous because he's handled the character since Endgame. He's not acted like himself. And I want to see what they do with it. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see those numbers again after that episode airs.
Okay. Jake, Ben, Cheese, let's see. What are you guys?
Oh, we're in the same square, but I didn't get to say anything.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. All right. Just
moving on. Back to Jim. Just kidding.
We don't agree about WandaVision because I love WandaVision, but I also enjoyed this a lot. And as I said, I was watching it. I'll see how the rest of it goes, and then I'll decide. It's a very different type of show, and I like that our two shows are very different. And I want to put this out there.
We have a question for you, Derek. You can answer it very simply.
A weekly episode release series like Wanda. Is he talking about the show on Disney Plus, or is he asking if we're going to talk about it every week?
The show.
As far as we know, right? It's going to be every Friday.
Disney has said.
Yeah.
For 6 weeks.
Okay, but what I was going to say, I've always Captain America is my favorite Avenger, and I'm part of the reason I love Captain America is, like we mentioned earlier, I'm an Army reservist, and I joined and went and visited my unit for one drill weekend before I actually went to basic, and that weekend was when Captain America came out, and I saw it in the theater before, going into a drill weekend, my first, entering into the Army. And now I'm seeing this, right after I got to go back to Army in person after a year of just doing it virtually. And so it's really special to me being able to see that. I loved how in The Winter Soldier, when they introduced Sam Wilson, he was a friend who was able to be there for Steve Rogers and convince him to go to this PTSD support group for veterans. And the way they handled this kind of stuff, like the character things, we're seeing Bucky, who's still dealing with all these difficult issues. And he's talking to a therapist in there, a therapist who's also a veteran. And he's saying, I feel like I've just been going from one fight to another. And apart from a little tiny rest in Wakanda for a little while, it's just been one fight after another. I've never gotten a break. Mm-hmm. And so he's dealing with all of that. And then I thought it was so interesting, the friend that he's hanging out with, this guy's a World War II, technically 106 years old. And he's hanging out with this guy who's this Japanese man. And, people from that generation, especially if they were involved in World War II, sometimes have, unfair opinions about all Japanese people. But I thought, this friendship is really interesting. And then you find out a little more there. Oh, this ties into Bucky's past, him trying to make amends for some of the things he's done. And there's so much. I just love all the character stuff. And I love, what Sam Wilson, he's trying to go and look out for his family. And I love the action sequences, which that's how this was different from WandaVision. This is much more of an action series, whereas that one was much more about the emotion of it. It was more, set in a home. And here's, you've got one person dealing with grief. Here you've got multiple people dealing with a whole lot of issues. And also this theme of, we need heroes right now. And people approaching that in different ways. I think that's really fascinating. And I think it speaks to what our culture does need right now. Like with WandaVision, you've got a lot of people dealing with grief right now, so it's going to speak to a lot of people. And here, we don't have a lot of people that we can really look up to in the public eye because we see so much of people. But where Captain America and Superman, when he's done right, are aspirational heroes, we can get more of that when we see guys who are guys and girls in shows like this who are just doing the right thing, putting themselves at risk to try and protect the innocent, to try and fight for what's right, and that's the kind of hero that I want to see in a series. And I'm glad we've got it. And I've been talking a while. Now I'm done. Thank you.
All right. The rest of you, come on, jump in. Let's talk.
From a guy who has served the country.
Yeah, Derek is. Thank you very much, Derek. If we never tell you, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
We do. Thanks. All right.
Ben and Stephanie, let's hear from you guys. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I liked his point about being friends with Yuji or Yuri, the Japanese man. I thought that was really sweet. I thought it was really emotional and touching to think about him making amends, if you will, for what he did to his son, which was great casting, by the way, of his son. His son was so likable, and it was really easy to be upset with what happened to him. And I also was excited to see the love interest of Bucky being Japanese, or I don't know what race she is, but I thought that was really cool. Yeah, the story of this next season or this season is like something I read. I've been reading about all these things, more emotional about like, where do they go now? What's happening now? How are they going to, you know, make it in this next season of their life? I thought it was funny. My husband, while we were watching it, kept shouting at the TV. He was like, why didn't Tony leave you money? Why are they poor? Why are they struggling? Yeah. He just was really fired up about their finances. Yeah, it was a good first episode. Made me excited. Something that I looked up because I was watching it again this afternoon, and when Bucky's in therapy, he's got this wall behind him that's just all these aspen trees, and I was like, that's a creative choice they made on purpose. So I googled the meaning of aspen trees, because plants always have like a meaning. Uh-huh. And it's a shield. Aspen shield, you guys.
Okay, no I'm way shouting.
But I was like, the details. The details that goes that. Into the MCU. It's just so good.
Okay. Oh, I love that.
Please.
But when he fell from the train, wasn't it kind of into like a treed area? Did it kind of symbolically? Oh. I know that was more snowy or whatever, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that's snowy. Just my yeah. own
thing, but that yeah. makes a lot more sense.
Hey, let's do Ben and then Jake.
I'm just really excited. I love that these series like WandaVision and now Falcon and Winter Soldier are taking these characters that a big thing I said during WandaVision, you had Wanda and Vision did not get all the chances they deserve to be showcased in the feature films. And so now, and in the same way, Bucky and Sam did not get to be showcased. I mean, they were always like the friend. They were literally, both of these guys were the best friend of the main character in the Captain America movies. And Wanda and Vision were these people that came in you know, Age of Ultron. And then they were kind of along for the ride. And so we're getting to see these characters fleshed out, and we're getting to see these actors have a lot more exercise and freedom to really build these characters, which I'm really excited about. And of course, I was a huge fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so this has... You know, this series is a little bit more action-y than WandaVision. It's a little bit more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you're also dealing with PTSD. You're dealing with, you know, a guy who is 106 years old, and he's he had to go through brainwashing where he was an assassin for Hydra and all this kind of stuff, and dealing with that, which is gorgeous to watch.
Yeah.
I am not a military guy myself, but I think the way that veterans get treated in our country so often, particularly by our government, is abhorrent. And I think it is very important to, especially in entertainment, showcase what people who have been in the military and who have served in that way and put their lives on the line have to go through. And the
okay. That's my husband. It's a terrible picture of him, but it's a thing.
They're posted everywhere around town.
Luke doesn't like good pictures of people.
I didn't cut out this one. I was giving it.
But Ben, please continue.
Well, I was going to say I was saying something nice and important, and then
sorry. Sticker
on the show. But no, I think it's important to understand that people, these are people, these are heroes, and these are people that are dealing with things, and it's you know, just important to see that in alongside the story of being a superhero. I think it's.
Definitely. Jake, what say you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with it. You know, everything you guys have been saying about it has been spot on. I loved it. I think it's great. I love Falcon as a character. I'm really glad we're getting a lot more into his backstory, because he's always such an interesting character. And like Ben was saying, he was just always kind of like the sidekick, kind of like the background character who didn't get to really branch out. As far as the show, like the opening action sequence of this was so great. Like it was top notch. And I was watching it and I was thinking to myself, I can't believe this is a TV show. Like,
I know.
This is like beyond anything that's like considered a TV show. I love you saw his drone he has called Red Wing. So in the comic, Falcon actually has a actual falcon bird that flies around that he like has on his arm, whatever, and he has like a psychic connection to, and it flies off. Mm-hmm. So in the MCU, they made it into the drone thing. And I love that when it starts flying off, you hear it kind of making noises, and it kind of sounds like a bird, like a little chirping, kind of like weird noises. So I was like, oh, that's so cool. You know, yeah. Little things like that. So, but yeah, really cool. I'm really excited to see how it goes, and I'm in 100%.
Yeah. And I think this whole thing is so smart because it makes me want to go back and rewatch the movies. Like with WandaVision, I watched Age of Ultron again to understand it better. So this is so smart that they're doing this.
Yeah.
And Luke, watch them all on Disney Plus, streaming watch right now.
Except for The Incredible Hulk. It's not on there. It's universal.
Although they mentioned, there was a mention of Incredible Hulk in this. The guy who became the Incredible Hulk was mentioned in this episode. I mean, the guy who became the enemy of the Incredible Hulk. I read that somewhere. I might be telling you a lie, but I heard that it was slightly mentioned in this episode. All right, Luke.
Yeah, there's two things I'd like to say. Like, as a filmmaker and all that, I really love the choice they made to shoot a Bucky, during that scene where he's talking to a therapist, of like that weird, like awkward close up from the side, which really kind of added that like human type side and stuff. That shot just alone just really kind of brought you in kind of a different way than a lot of these Marvel films have, and bringing kind of like the personal aspect in, with the Falcon character, of like him giving up the shield. And there's a lot of like psychology behind this whole thing. And it's brilliant too, like, cause they're doing the whole like Walking Dead thing. It's like Bucky's like killed all these people, but then he's trying to turn around, kind of like, Negan did all this bad stuff in Walking Dead, but then he's kind of redeeming himself. Not Bucky was brainwashed, so that gives him a little more grace and stuff, but it's really cool. And almost, as we're Christian nerds, the amount of like grace that's given kind of in the situation. And on another note, I really like how at the end of this episode, spoiler, is that they're bringing in a new Captain America, which kind of almost seem more of like a douchey version of Captain America, which kind of almost brings in kind of a little bit of the boys vibe. So I'm wondering if they'll kind of give it where he's all about the publicity, the media and all that, where I'm really interested to see the angle they take on this. And then if, eventually one of them will take the shield from this guy, because he's just kind of almost seems like this little product of they're just doing it to the mainstream.
Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the WeeBe Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.